Welcome to the Straight from the Source's Mouth podcast. Frank talk about sex and dating.
All right. Welcome to episode number 7. In the trailer and the intro episode, we mentioned that we were going to go there and really have discussions about certain topics. Well, today's episode is definitely one of them. If you haven't, you can't tell by the title already, but I'll either add a clip from my stand-up or just share the link at the end. We're going to talk about do's and don'ts about oral sex for men and women, both giving and receiving, enthusiasm versus technique, and just see where we go with the conversation. I asked lots of people to be on the show, and lots of people don't mind talking about it, but not necessarily on air. So I do have Vince here with me today, who is also going to share from both perspectives as well. You know, obviously giving and receiving, we both have experience for both, as most people do in the world. So we are going to start the conversation. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
No problem. And like I said, I'm very thrilled that you would actually join, because I was going to say this is pretty taboo, or TMI, as I like to say, for a lot of people. But I think it's a much needed conversation. And a lot of people may think they're better than they are, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because people want to be nice and just say like, oh yeah, that was awesome, that was great. And then I even have some ideas on how to focus, you know, or enhance or redirect when necessary. So we can talk about all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so I was going to say my thoughts. Well, I've talked to several, like lots of guys, like I said, we'll talk about it, but not necessarily on air. So one of the things I've heard are some complaints as far as receiving it. And then maybe you can comment on some of these complaints as well. And the biggest thing they say, well, a lack of moisture when giving oral sex, like blowjobs to men. The teeth thing, a death grip, and in the wrong place are the main basic topics. Do you have any thoughts on those ideas, or agree or disagree?
Well, those are things you hear of. You know, like the teeth thing. I don't know that you would really have to try to get your teeth involved, I think. It's difficult to put, you know, put a pointer right on, you know, when you're with somebody and it's just not feeling good, about what it is. But when you're there, you have to be able to express it. And I'm not in the middle of it right now, so, you know, I'm trying to think back on times when I have. But it can be a bunch of things. It can be the place, it can be the person, it can be the time, it can be, yeah, their technique, their, you know, there's a difference between enthusiasm and, you know, just kind of, I'm down here because, you know, I think he expects it, you know, which, and when there is a lack of enthusiasm, it is very apparent to the receiver, as far as men are concerned. Now, I don't know, from the lady's point of view, if a guy's not really enthusiastic about it, can you tell?
Yeah, I don't think enthusiasm really matters as much for women. As long as they're down there, technique is much more our preference to enthusiasm. I mean, I was going to say, so no thoughts on the other things. I mean, because I talked to lots of guys, like I said, they just, you know, on this topic, trying to get people to be on the show. And they said a majority of men think that a majority of women are not very good at giving oral sex. Like, pretty much, there's like one or two that are really good in their minds, and like the rest are like okay. And I think more women probably think they're good at it. But I think the grip and the location of where they grip, and obviously, you know, that's with hands, but, you know, the whole mouth thing too.
Those are important.
I don't know. Yes. I mean, I've just heard where it like actually literally hurts because they, you know. And I guess I'm not talking more oral sex. It's also
there,
manual.
Yeah, no, there can be. You know, I think some people get a little too aggressive if they, you know, want to play with your testicles while they're doing it. And they, if you don't have a pair, you don't know that there's just a thin, fine line between what feels good and what feels like you just got kicked by a mule. So yeah. that's an area to be cautious about. It's like everything, every woman, just like every guy, I think, has a little bit different of a technique. And
all right, well, let's talk about the area like giving to women, like what your take on it or what you tend to do, or I can give you what I've heard works and know from experience, but also talk to other women and see if you agree or what you found. But all right, I'll start out with what I think is helpful. Knowing the woman's love language would be very helpful, especially if you're already in a relationship. But, you know, if she likes touch, do touch. If she, and it starts early in the day, you know, it's, we all orgasm generally in our minds. So it starts, you want to have a close relationship. You want to have connection. And then you have touching and foreplay and kissing and not just jumping right to it. You have to, and the more turned on a woman is, the easier it'll be for her to have an orgasm, the more she'll enjoy it and want to do it more often. So, I mean, foreplay, touching other places, the actual clitoris is the place where we have orgasms, just FYI. And I think a lot of people don't realize like how important that spot is. And when during oral sex, you also need to hit that spot as well as inside with a finger or two. So just FYI, if you're not doing that, it's very important to do them both. And then I've heard a guy say he does like a come here kind of motion when his finger is inside to hit the G spot. And then I've also heard women say like circling the thumb on the clit with the finger inside. So any thoughts on any of those techniques that you've experienced yourself or know of?
Well, there are, like I say, there are a lot of techniques. I guess I was fortunate in my career in this and that I had some pretty good experiences early on, and I just kind of built from that. And I think a lot of people get turned off or not enthusiastic by it, you know, when in younger in life when they have a bad experience and it just kind of turns them off, or they're just like, I did that once. It wasn't so great. But yeah. Technique, yeah. I mean, it's if you're the type of person, male or female, who really likes to do that, I think that's going to show through a bit. Do your fingers have to be involved? Sure. And your tongue and also communication. I mean, it's probably a big thing of it. And in oral, it's kind of funny because it's usually the receiver who has to do most of the communicating because the giver is mouth is kind of busy. But
have you seen techniques where communication, like to me, rather than saying like "Do you like that?" is more like "Should I be faster or slower or harder or softer?" So the person knows that you're actually wanting feedback versus "Oh yeah, it's great," and you never say what you're really thinking.
Yeah, no, I can say when I'm the giver, yeah, feedback is very important. I know what I'm doing, but I mean, I know the physical actions I'm taking. Let's say I know what I'm doing, but yeah, you need that feedback. You need that. Hey, faster, slower, harder, softer. That's the spot. Don't stop. Whatever. It's very important, and you know, as a receiver, you have to understand that, you know, whether you're male or female, that, you know, that feedback loop there, the person you're with is kind of guessing, kind of, I think this is what's going to feel good. You know, the last person I was with like this, whatever, but everybody's different. So.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that where just because it works on one person, it's not going to work on another. So. And then, you know, you don't necessarily have to have that your go-to, or you can try it. And then if it's, and to me, like making sounds is like the key, like even if you can't say anything, like if it's not working for me, I generally don't make noise. Like I'm not going to fake it. Cause if you fake it, they think, oh, this is working, and then do that every time. So if it's not working, don't make any noise, or make less noise. And then as they get closer, make more noise. And then, you know, or just say, you know, it feels amazing, whatever. But you need some clues as to what is working and what is not.
Absolutely. And like everything, it goes down to the communication. If you want to have a better time, you know, it's when someone has their face in your lap is not the time to be demure and, you know, oh, you know, I don't want to say dirty things or whatever. I mean, their face is in your lap. You're not going to really get much closer than that. So speak your mind. Say what feels good. Say what feels bad. Say what you like more of. You know, you've got one finger.
Or even,
hey, what, you only have one? How about two? You know, say what, you're not going to get much more intimate with a person than that. So don't be shy. Don't be, oh, if I say that, he'll think I'm dirty, whatever. You know, he's got his face in your lap.
Well, and that does, and I mentioned this in lots of episodes about the double standard. You know, women have to feel like the good girls, but like you said, once they're already there, it's probably, and whether they're good or not, there is no judgment. It's just you're there, and if you're there, you might as well enjoy it. And I talk about that in my stand-up too.
The thing that has concerned me, you know, in the past has been when somebody doesn't make any sound and you're like, hello, you know, is this a corpse? What's going on here? I mean, say something, do something, moan, do anything, but just lay there silent. I don't know. They're looking at something on their phone and not paying attention to what I'm doing. You got to have feedback. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. Or it's going to work. It's just not going to be as good of a time as it could be.
Yeah. And even like if they're in like a slightly off spot, you could always move yourself a little bit to like, you know, or move the hand or move the kind of, you know, bump the head or not bump it, but like push a little to the side, like, oh, this way. And I didn't realize at one point I was like rubbing the head of the person I was with. And he would like, he used that as a guide to like faster or slower. And I didn't know that at the time. But as soon as he told me, of course, I was conscious of it and that was no longer going to work. But apparently I was like mimicking it on. Anyway.
Well, if you're not getting verbal feedback, you look for physical feedback, you know. Did they grab my head? Did they squeeze their legs? Did they open their legs more? You know, it could be anything, but first and foremost, it shouldn't be just verbal. You know, hey, whatever you're doing right there doesn't feel so good, so let's try something else. You know, or that feels really great, please don't stop. Or, you know, a little to the left, up a little, down a little, in a little, out a little, whatever. You know,
it only benefits all. It's a win-win if you help them help you, and then everyone enjoys it, and you're more likely to want to do it in the future, especially when, you know, after people get married, the whole stereotype is people don't have sex anymore. But, you know, it could be that they, if it starts to lack or whatever, and then they're just, I don't know.
I think that whole after marriage, the sex peters out thing, you know, a lot of that is, I think there's a very strong correlation between people talking about sex and people having sex. And if two people who are in a relationship, you know, have that little banter, you know, say little, you know, enticing things on phones or text messages during the day, the more that brings it into your mind, the more you're talking about it, the more you're going to end up doing it. So I think people, when they get married, you know, they move into the house together for the first time or whatever. And that talking about it starts to decline, and then the amount they have it starts to decline. Whereas, you know, I'm by no means a psychiatrist or psychologist or any kind of health professional in any way, shape or form. But I think that, you know, my experiences have been, you know, talk about it. And when you talk about it, you're thinking about it, and then you're thinking about you want to do it, and then you do it.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah, I was going to say,
talking about it.
Yes. And it, Yeah. Or watch, or that's why I was a good segue. I was going to mention some of the resources in the beginning. I don't even think I mentioned that as a thing I would do, but there's a website, Make Love Not Porn, that actually has some instructions as well for oral sex. And then Goop Lab on Netflix. It's by Gwyneth Paltrow. She has an episode dedicated to female orgasms. Like, apparently there are women that have never had any. So they have a woman actually give herself an orgasm. They show how she does it. They show pictures of the anatomy of all different women. So you can see that, you know, how diverse we are. And also there's a show on Netflix called Sex Explained. There's an entire episode on female orgasms. And a really good show, Sex Life, on Netflix, which is a very telling perspective from the woman, what a woman would be turned on by. And, you know, it's all about, I say it in my stand-up all the time, it's all about the clit. They are focusing on it, and that is how women enjoy it. And if you want women to have sex with you more, you have to pay attention to that spot. And I'm sure are things that you would prefer women pay attention to for the male perspective. Any thoughts on that? Or is it a given?
Sure. I don't begrudge it. Oh, if I have to, you know, that really doesn't enthuse anyone.
As on that topic, I was going to say real quick. Sorry, I was going to say, the better you do it, or the more enthusiastic, whatever technique or enthusiasm, but the better you are, the faster they are at actually enjoying it and having the final result. So to me, like, doing a good job makes it go faster. Not that it's a bad thing to do, but when you do it well, it can be quicker and or lead to other things too, just to get started.
Well, exactly. And, you know, lubrication, yes. But I mean, that's a lot of personal preference. Some people like it just wet enough to get the job done. Some people like it very messy, sloppy, whatever. I like kind of in the middle, you know, not too terribly dry, but not, you know, I don't want to get the mop in the bucket later on and clean up.
Yeah.
And the hand is, the hand has a role in it when I'm receiving it. You know, some people try to go, I guess we'd say, old fashioned and just do everything with the mouth. But it's been my experience that doesn't work so well.
I would agree. I call it the hand mouth combo.
Combination.
And you don't have to go down as far.
Absolutely.
Your hand can go further than your mouth, and then you don't have to do the whole gagging thing, which is, this is way TMI, so I hope people are not offended. I'm like, oh my God. But we said we'd go there, and we're going there.
I can't speak for all men, but I can speak for this man. Yeah, that whole gagging thing, I'm just like, boy, that, it doesn't feel good, it doesn't look good, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't really float my boat. But
And porn nowadays makes it, porn nowadays makes it seem like that's the thing to do too. And that's, we all know that is not where you get your sex education. I talked about this in an earlier episode. That is not what you want to do in real life.
Well, here's the thing that my opinion about pornography is, there is some pornography that just depicts two people making love or having sex or whatever in what we could say would be, you know, traditional fashions. Now, the problem with porn is, like the problem with anything, is that it goes mental. And perhaps, I guess it's people who produce it say, oh, I don't want to, you know, produce pornography that just looks like two people having regular sex, because that's been done a million times. I have to make something that's just bonkers that no one's seen before. And I think that is where it really goes off the rails and really turns people off porn and really turns people off of maybe exploring and expanding the things they do with their partner, because they're like, oh, no, then this is going to be like that porn thing, yada, yada, yada. Well, I think that with some people, that becomes a limiting factor. But I can say for myself personally, I don't think that I viewed pornography before I ever had my first sexual experience with a woman. And I don't know that I, in that first relationship that I had, we had had, you know, regular intercourse sex, but from seeing the guy perform oral sex and the woman in the film, I thought, well, the lady in the film like this, let's give it a try. And it worked out. I don't know that without having previously seen pornography that the teenage version of myself would have had any idea to go put his face down there. But it all turned out for the best.
Yeah. And that was years ago, or now it's like not, you know, that long ago, of course, but nowadays it's like very blatant and very in your face. I haven't watched it in forever, but from what I hear. But yeah, the Make Love Not Porn site is actual real people, and you can sign up to be a couple that gets, you know, that uploads your videos to show actual like love making versus just, you know. So I would imagine there'd be a lot more emphasis on the women's parts that feel good instead of the traditional porn where it's just slamming a woman with, and she acts like she loves it, and her clit's not being touched at all.
Well, and that goes back to, you know, whoever makes it, trying to make variety or whatever. And the hard thing to know is, you know, when does the cart become before the horse? When is, you know, things that are recorded in pornographic films, you know, when are they, you know, let's invent something versus when are they, you know, they've gone through straight sex a lot and now they're exploring, you know, kinks and fetishes and whatnot. And yeah, I try not to be too, you know, judgmental on that stuff because it's, you know, whatever is right or wrong for me doesn't mean it's right or wrong for someone else, you know?
Yeah. And the whole point of this podcast too is to be very open to anything and everything and no judgment, no issues, you know, whatever you're into. And I do want to go back to, though, because I did say this would be kind of like a how-to episode. So
sure.
I'm just going to say the tip of the, or the head of the penis, which people have said I can't say the words, but I'm saying the proper words, is the most sensitive area. Is that not true? Yes. Generally, or is that not in your experience? I know some guys have been like that. The only the tip or only the head, I mean, right at the near the top, definitely not the bottom.
The issue is, you know, you're not going to get anywhere just touching the tip. It's going to take more than that. You know, speaking as someone who has had a penis for many decades, the head is obviously the most sensitive part. But as far as the stimulation goes, in order for a man to, you know, reach an orgasm, is there has to be that pressure, that stroke on the, I would say, the forward half from the middle to the head up.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff way down by the bottom just kind of gets lost.
And I heard that's even
at least for me.
Yeah. But yeah, and that's what I meant. Like from, as long as the stroke is touching the tip, you know, up and down, and the, mm-hmm. the frenulum, a friend told me it's called, which I didn't know, the ridge, as other people have called it, the bottom of the head, whatever you, that motion of going over, up and down from there. And it all, you can ask the guy to like do it for himself and watch and see what he likes versus just guess and do it wrong. The amount of pressure, like you said, in the stroke, the faster quickness mm-hmm. of it, depending on you. Go ahead. You can speak more to this, obviously.
Sure. And from my personal experience, you know, the lubrication and a stroke that goes up the shaft and then includes the head too, not just like the you know, from the middle to the head, whatever, but, you know, kind of the whole thing, something that simulates more, I guess, the feeling of actual intercourse, where it's not just, you know, you're not just moving the middle of the shaft, but you're kind of, you know, going over the,
yeah, like in and out motion,
the whole thing,
the hand, yeah, in and out motion, the hand, the mouth,
and absolutely. That, that does the trick for me. That works. That's something I really enjoy.
And for women, they say the consistency, you know, on the Make Love Not Porn site, they talk about this too. We want a consistent, stroke, you know, of the clit as well. You know, like it's got to, if the consistency is what makes it happen. Like if you get close and then you switch it up or stop, granted, you talk first to figure out what's working and then continue that for enough time. But once again, it goes back to if you touch a woman and you're sweet to her and nice to her and don't immediately, you know, just and start kissing and touching nipples and everywhere else, then go there. She's already going to be turned on. You can come within minutes if you do enough foreplay. And guys like live for that. Women live for it. Like we want our partners to have orgasms. It's not the be all end all, but yes, it kind of should be, you know, not like the goal, but enjoying the process as well.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's part of sex, but you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore. I don't think that it's the, you know, it's the checkered flag at the end of the race. There is so, it's so much broader than that. But as far as for a guy being on the receiving end, yeah, I mean, I'm to the point now where I can have that discussion with somebody. It's like, hey, it would feel better if maybe you added this, you know, as opposed to just kind of, you know, because honestly, again, I can only speak for myself. If the grip isn't right, the motion isn't right, whatever isn't right, it's never going to happen. You could lay there for 3 hours and do what you're doing, and you know we'll just both be frustrated. So life is too short for that. So you have to tell them, hey, this is what's going to do it. We're at the point, you know, once you're past 30, you should know what does and doesn't do it for you. And you should just be able to articulate that to the person you're with to get you where you want to be. I mean, I would never, you know, if I was giving to a woman and, you know, I wouldn't ever take her advice and say, oh, no, don't worry. I know what I'm doing down here. You know?
I know better. Yeah, you would not.
Exactly. You don't. Everybody's different, and what everybody likes is a little different. So you got to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, we're getting towards the end, so I will just say hopefully this wasn't too much for some people. I mean, I think this is a much-needed conversation. I don't know. Hopefully we did it enough justice, but communication obviously is key. And everyone's different, and it's harder. It can be hard to just say. So maybe suggesting, you know, like, do you like it harder or softer versus do you like it? Because then most people are going to be obligated to be like, yeah, I love it, and because they're just, no one wants to be mean, no one wants to upset anyone, you know, they just. But I've heard of people like literally enduring it, like on both sides. Like both sides don't think the other is very good at it, and I really hope that this at least gives you insight, some of the resources to look at, you know, just things to think about. But, you know, any closing thoughts for you?
Practice, you know, if it's something that you enjoy, talk about it with your partner and do it more frequently. And, you know, it's like anything, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. And the more you talk about it, the better you're going to get at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can even like literally be like, all right, you know, try touching me and then do different things and say, yes, that works. You know, do this, try that. Like, you know, I talk about in my stand up a 40-year-old virgin, and I literally was like, yeah, this is where it is, and like let him figure it out. And it worked really well, you know. And I really wish I didn't say that just now. No, but I say it in my stand-up, so I might as well. But yeah, just like you said, practice, you know. And if it's in an environment like, hey, let's just see how it feels and do it as a test practice case versus then you don't have to feel bad. You're like literally trying to find out. What are we going to say?
Well, what do you think the biggest mistakes our guys make when they, you know, a man's head ends up in your lap and you're just kind of like,
Yeah. Well, to me, the thing, you need both places. I mean, all places aren't a bad thing too, but a finger inside while touching, or even a finger on it, you know, meaning the clit, but just, you know, only one or the other, a combo. And then, like I said, if the woman makes the noise in the right places, she'll, you know, that'll clue her in. But, and the guy can take note of that. Like, I try to make it clear, or like, and if you kind of move a hand or move your body up or down or sideways, you know, that's kind of like the clue, like, hey, you know, we're a little off center, or you could move a little bit, or, you know, faster, slower. Like, you know, if they're not making noise, maybe at least we can, like you said, look for physical clues of your hand or whatever. But yeah, just, and then the inconsistency, you know, I mean, I guess, yeah, obviously I haven't done it, but I'm sure your tongue gets tired. You know, so it's like you can only do her so long. But, you know, like when you switch it up.
Surprised.
If, yeah. Oh, it doesn't really get tired? All right. I would, yes, I have no idea.
Again,
I
mean, so, yeah. And then, guys, we don't know when you're going to do that with a woman. Like, I have about between a 5 and 8 o'clock shadow all the time. And I don't know, some women have not commented on that at all. Some have said, oh, that kind of feels weird, or I don't know, you know. So that's another conversation you have to have with somebody. I mean, if there's, you know, if the whiskers aren't doing it for them, maybe, I don't know. You have to look into that. I guess you could say the same thing about pubic hair.
Grooming. You know, about grooming down there. Yeah, we can go there. Some people. Definitely want it gone. Some people like it and don't. There are definitely men that have no problem having hair down there for women, but a lot of women assume that all men want it gone.
Yeah, and that's a bad assumption to make, because from the, you know, the group of people I know that I've actually discussed the topic with, the consensus is pretty much, you know, if there's no hair there at all, it's like, especially guys who are fathers, they're like, it creeps me out. It reminds me of when I was changing my daughter's diaper, you know. Some people look for that. Some people, you know, the visual of hair, that, you know, I'm one of those people. I don't like it when it's, you know, ladies, save yourself the pain and the cost of going to the waxer and just give it up. A little trimming is fine. You know, it shouldn't look like a Harlem Globetrotter's afro down there, but it, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, just some little dime-sized token piece of, you know, just, I don't know, that's a tough topic.
And I feel the same way. I feel the same way for men. Like, I really could care less about grooming. Like you said, trimming's fine, but it doesn't bother me at all. But I know a lot of guys that think they need to do it as well, or prefer it.
I was in that camp when I was younger, but A, it takes forever because that thing is not a shape that was built to be shaved. And B, the itch, you know, when like 3 days later, and the volume and weird spots that it itches, it's just, you know, keep it trim, keep it looking presentable, you know, like you do with your hair. Nobody just stops going to the barber and lets their hair go everywhere. And not a lot of people completely shave their head. You know, there's a happy medium.
All right. Well, we are getting close to time. I try to keep it around 30 minutes. So thank you very much, Vince. And hopefully people are not, hopefully they enjoyed it or got something out of it. That is the goal here. And if you liked it, please subscribe to the podcast itself. Give reviews if you really like it. And thank you again, Vince. I appreciate you being here.
You're welcome. You're welcome, and you know, have me back anytime. It's fun to talk. talk about these things. And hopefully someone can hear it and say, oh, wow, I learned something.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm doing it. All right. Thank you.
Frank Talk, Frank Talk, sex and dating educates.